blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, February 2nd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A local government minister, Ignatius Chombo, says vendors should be removed from streets in Zimbabwe's cities, saying their presence compromises the cleanliness of urban areas.
Yes, action will be taken, and I'd urge that we accept that action with the main thing to bring sanity. We know people are there out of desperation. It's not their job of choice. It's not their opportunity of choice. It's the choice of last resort.
Zimbabweans express mixed views over President Robert Mugabe's role in Africa following his elevation to the position of African Union chairperson.
Being the forceful character that he is not just going to be a ceremonial African head of state like some of the most recent ones. He's somebody who pushes his agendas.
And former ZANU-PF National and West Chairman and Urungwe West lawmaker Themba Peter Mliswa appears in court facing allegations of theft of 8 firearms from a white farmer.
While some Zimbabweans view Robert Mugabe's election to the African Union chairmanship as Africa's recognition of his experience in international relations, others say there's not much that Mr. Mugabe will change, as his view post is largely ceremonial. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera has more details from the capital, Harare.
Mr. Mugabe, who is also chairperson of the Southern African Development Community, was unanimously elected African Union chairperson last week in what ZANU-PF's Gabriel Chaiva says is a tremendous show of support and confidence on him by African leaders.
There is no doubt in my mind that the election of President Mugabe as the chairperson of the African Union is yet another very clear indication of the a tremendous amount of respect the continental body has and the confidence that they have in the leadership of President Robert Mugabe. It could have been anybody else.
Chaiva says as AU chairman, Mr. Mugabe now has a perfect opportunity to change the mindset of certain leaders who believed that America and Europe are the saviors of Africa's challenges. Political commentator Takura Jangaja also says Mr. Mugabe's election to chair the continental body is good, as it marks Zimbabwe's entry into international affairs after years being regarded as a pariah state.
I think the significance is that it's sort of now coming in from the cold and being recognized by member states of the African Union to have the capacity and legitimacy to be chairperson of the AU. In other words, it is no longer being mediated. So it's a new entry of Zimbabwe into international affairs, which is a good thing.
Senior Zimbabwean journalist David Masunda adds that Mr. Mugabe's election will boost his image internationally, as the West, which has imposed sanctions on him and his colleagues, can no longer afford to ignore him.
Whereas in the past they could ignore him, now they cannot afford to. And being the forceful character that he is not just going to be a ceremonial African head of state like some of the most recent ones. He's somebody who pushes agendas, and these agendas are very well known.
Masunda says Mr. Mugabe's leadership of both the Southern African Development Community and African Union is good news for countries like China and Russia, as the Zimbabwean leader is likely to push his policies, such as the Look East policy. He says Mr. Mugabe will no doubt use his experience to tackle burning issues such as the International Criminal Court's treatment of African leaders.
Now, with him holding both positions, it is easy for him to redirect most of other African leaders to the possibility of looking at other sources of funding, other sources of foreign direct investment, other sources of political direction rather than the traditional ones, which have been the West.
Mr. Masunda argues that Mr. Mugabe's new role brings new challenges for the 90-year-old, who has to fix pressing social, economic, and political issues in his own country. Harare resident Godswe Shumba believes that while President Mugabe's election election to the position of AU chairperson is good for the country, chairing SADC and AU would be too much for him. He says a man of his age does not need extra responsibilities.
It's quite putting a lot of responsibilities on the president, because considering the fact that he's turning 90 on the 21st of 91 on the 21st of February, so he'll be turning 91, and he's very old. So sharing both organs, the SADC and the AU, it might be difficult for him.
Another resident, Chamunor Wamutasa, is of the view that Mr. Mugabe is too old and should not be burdened with more responsibilities. But Jangaja dismisses these remarks, saying the president will be looking mainly after Zimbabwean issues, as most of the regional matters are set to be tackled by the AU Commission.
By and large, it should not be an excuse for government not to implement domestic policy progressively or to address issues affecting Zimbabwe progressively, even though they're the new African Union chair. It still means that their work at the African Union is still determined by a secretariat chaired by Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, and President Mugabe can't then say, I'm concentrating a lot on African affairs.
But some Zimbabweans, like Kwekwe-based human rights defender Ngoslat Moyo and Media Center Director Ernest Muzengi, say there is no reason to celebrate Mr. Mugabe's elevation to the chairmanship of the AU. Muzengi says this is a ceremonial position.
We are not going to benefit much. It would have benefited us if President Mugabe was really committed to reform, but he is not committed to reform.
Indications are that President Mugabe, who has been in power for more than 34 years, took over the chairmanship from Mauritania President Mohamed Ould Abdel Aziz. This is the second time Mr. Mugabe is leading the continental body. He once led it when it was the Organization of African Union from June 1997 to June 1998. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Meanwhile, President Mugabe addressed journalists soon after the end of the AU summit. Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye gives us more.
Though the Africa Union summit has ended, many are still reeling over the statement President Mugabe made that it's impossible for women to be at par with men given their biological differences.
It's not possible that women can be on a par with men. You see, women, we want children. We make the very women we want in parliament pregnant. Yes, and we remain it. But it's not possible. That aspect only.
However, quizzed on this by journalists at the end of the summit, President Mugabe refuted the statement, saying he's given women in Zimbabwe opportunities that cannot be disputed.
So, Therese, I never said what you are saying. But total parity, because we are different biologically. There are certain things men can do which women may not be able to do. You can't suck babies, can you? Suckle it. Can you bear them in your tummies? So there is no parity there, biologically. But it definitely, what we have done in Zimbabwe is to bring about real parity.
President Mugabe also brought into question his take on the treatment of journalists. When asked how he plans to assist journalists arrested around the world.
You think the people of Africa made me chairman and chairman for just a year to go around pleading for journalists? No, what I can do is to pray for you.
Responding to questions on how he will deal with the West, as AU chair, Mr. Mugabe said it is not his business how the West chooses to deal with him as the AU chair, but reiterated his call for them to drop sanctions.
As for the West, well, it's up to them to do what they choose to do. After all, for more than 10 years, I've been under sanctions. My country has been under sanctions. If they want them to continue, well, it's up to them, but we say that sanctions are wrong.
on doing business with Western countries, Mr. Mugabe says many European countries are starting to engage with the country, but warned their welcome is conditional.
If Europe comes in the spirit to cooperate and not the spirit, you see, to control us and control our ways, they will be very welcome.
Reporting for Studio 7, this is Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye in Washington.
Former ZANU-PF Mashonaland West Chairman and Hurungwe West lawmaker Themba Peter Mliswa today appeared in court facing allegations of theft of 8 firearms from a white farmer. The state claims that Mliswa, who appeared before Chinoy magistrate Ignatius Mugova, stole 8 firearms from a white commercial farmer, Miles Walter Hall. Mliswa's lawyer, Musindo Dunira Hungwe, told the court that the allegations emanated from way back in 2002 and queried why the white farmer did not make a report then. Harold Matura is prosecuting the case.
We have our correspondent on the line, Arthur Chigoriwa, who attended the court session. Good evening, Chigoriwa.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, Arthur, can you tell us what happened today at the Chinoy Magistrate Courts? Did Mliswa make a plea?
Yes, Mliswa, who was in a jovial mood, appeared before Chinoy Magistrate Ignatius Mugova on allegations of theft of 8 firearms, namely 6 rifles and 2 shotguns from a white farmer, Miles Walter Hall, in 2002. And speaking after the hearing, his lawyer, Musindo Dunira Hungwe of Kazere Hungwe and Mandevere, said the allegations are frivolous as no report of theft was made by Mr. Ho in 2002. And Mliswa was remanded to tomorrow in custody for a bail hearing.
We saw pictures of Mliswa looking like a person who was pulled out of bed to appear in court. What did his lawyer say about his condition? Was he beaten up while in police custody?
No, the lawyer said he was not beaten up. It was only that he wasn't expecting that he was going to court today.
So what happens next now for the former ZANU-PF provincial chairperson for Mashonaland Central Province?
I think tomorrow they are going to have a bail hearing, and the lawyer is very much optimistic that he is going to be given the option to pay for bail so that he can be tried from coming from home.
And how is the public viewing this whole development?
Yeah, there were a lot of people at the court, and the sentiments were that Themba Mliswa was being persecuted for being outspoken of late.
But we have seen Themba in the courts. He's not a stranger in court. And how come the people seem to be sympathizing with him? Is this a factional thing within ZANU-PF?
Yeah, it really points to that, because Themba was the only provincial person who was who was always talking actually or openly to the sheriff. So I think the sympathy is drawn from that, because I think all is not well within the Mashonaland West.
Thank you so much, Arthur. You have yourself a good day. We'll keep in touch with you tomorrow for an update.
Thank you very much.
The Zimbabwe government's bid to assume the more than $1 billion Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe debt took center stage in Parliament today when thematic and portfolio committees resumed sitting after their Christmas and New Year recess. Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa and Central Bank Chief John Mangujga were grilled by parliamentarians about some alleged discrepancies in the $1.35 billion debt schedule, with concerns that some figures were inflated. The central bank debt was accrued from quasi-fiscal activities conducted by then-central bank chief Gideon Gonom. The activities included subsidies, direct lending, subsidized the cost of providing equipment and fertilizers to farmers, and the allocation of foreign currents at subsidized exchange rates.
Last year, Zimbabweans told the parliamentary committee during an outreach program that they were against the government's move to assume the debt after the central bank refused to release the list of the beneficiaries of the quasi-fiscal operations of the bank. Some leading economists have also expressed concern at the move, saying government is already saddled with a debt trap of up to $8 billion. Chinamasa and Mangujga pleaded with Parliament to pass the bill, saying the debt overhang is affecting the operations of the central bank and making it fail to discharge its mandate as the lender of last resort. But parliamentarians queried why some loans have ballooned, forcing Chinamasa and Mangujga to go and revise the figures. A member of the Parliamentary Finance Committee, Willas Madzimure, of the MDC Renewal Team, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the committee wants some changes to be made.
The committee wanted the minister and the governor to explain or clarify a number of issues that the public had raised concern on, and that is what we are doing today.
Can you cite some examples where your committee might have had concerns?
We have some services that were provided by some banks to the RBZ, for example, where you have the services having been costed at $1.7 million, and now it appears it has now gone up to almost $40 million. And those were the concerns that we were raising. And we were assured that a new schedule is going to be produced before we go to the third reading of the bill.
People during the outreach program flatly rejected the idea of the government assuming that bill. What is happening now? Are you simply going to throw away those concerns?
We are very clear that the people didn't agree with the idea. And what we have also realized is that a lot of them think that the government will give $1.3 billion to the RBZ, when the truth of the matter is that the government will just guarantee issuing treasury bills and the like over a period of time.
So what did the minister and the governor say about that?
The minister is saying he understands the people's concerns, but for the sake of this country moving forward, this has to be done.
But are the names going to be released of the beneficiaries?
That's the issue. The name of the beneficiary, it might be something that might not eventually happen. But as a committee, we have been asking for this information to be availed to us.
That was a member of the Parliamentary Finance Committee, Willas Madzimura of the MDC Renewal Team, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
local government minister Ignatius Chombo tells cities in Zimbabwe to remove vendors from dirty streets.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
An Egyptian court has sentenced 183 supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood to death on charges of killing police officers following the 2013 ouster of President Mohamed Morsi.
Al Jazeera journalist Peter Greste says it was a relief to be freed from an Egyptian prison, but that he feels incredible about leaving two colleagues behind in jail.
The Ugandan army said today it may have found the body of Lord's Resistance Army commander wanted for war crimes and crimes against humanity.
Workers collected bodies from the streets of Maiduguri on Monday, a day after the Nigerian army repelled an attempt by Boko Haram militants to take control of the city. Local Government Minister Ignatius Chombo says vendors should be removed from streets in Zimbabwe's cities, saying their presence compromises the cleanliness of urban areas and thus posing a serious health risk to urban dwellers. According to the Daily News, Chombo uttered these remarks when he addressed mayors and council chairpersons at the 73rd Urban Councils Association annual general meeting in Bulawayo. The newspaper quoted him as saying all local authorities are required to immediately take necessary measures to remove the vendors from undesignated sites to alternative planned vending points. He made these remarks a few days after Vice President Pelegezela Mpoko attacked able-bodied people, he said, sold tomatoes on pavements instead of doing something worthwhile in cities. Studio 7 failed to reach Minister Chombo. Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni, who attended the meeting, confirms that Chombo indeed called for the removal of the vendors. But Manyenyeni, who concedes that vending has become a menace, says the issue should be handled properly since it affects many people's livelihoods.
Yes, the minister made that call. It is a necessary call. It is an appropriate call at this point in time because the vending reality has become a menace in a number of ways. The numbers are increasing every day. They are vending outside the licensed shops, which are employing people, paying rates, and conducting business in the formalized sector. The control element has completely disappeared. Like I'm saying, it's changing every day. Some of the stuff that is being sold is actually food, whose health conditions cannot be ascertained. Some of the foodstuffs that's being sold in the open, from fruit and vegetables to meat, we cannot be assured of the health conditions pertaining to those products.
So, as council, are you willing to take action against vendors, and how are you going to implement this?
Yes, action will be taken, and I would urge that we take that action with humane face to bring sanity. We know people are there out of desperation. It's not their job of choice. It's not their opportunity of choice. It's a choice of last resort. People are trying to fend for their families, to try and feed their families out of that particular occupation. But the city has to be a city. Certain standards have to be protected and managed.
That was Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni in Harare speaking with Studio 7 from Zimbabwe's capital. We also reached out to National Vendors Union Zimbabwe Director Samuel Wadzai for a comment.
We don't expect a senior government official to make such regular statements, especially at this point in time. Everyone knows the state of the economy, and for anyone to come out and try to insinuate that vendors should be removed from where they are operating from is only but childish. It's unacceptable. So we condemn his utterances. We are shocked as an organization, but we continue to urge people to speak from an informed point of view and ensure that they are serious all the time.
The minister says this uncontrolled venting compromises health standards. What's your take on this?
We don't know what you mean by uncontrolled venting, because the major reason why we were formed as an organization is ensure that we have got an organized way of doing business as vendors. We are ready to assist government and all these agencies to ensure that vending is done from an orderly and organized point of view. We are very open to all forms of engagement. In terms of cleanliness, we are running programs on a daily basis, and Minister Chombo, I think, is one of them. He knows about those campaigns.
That was National Vendors Union Zimbabwe Director Samuel Wadzai in Harare with Studio 7.
Coming up next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Nigerians go to the polls next month in the largest democratic election in Africa this year, and perhaps one of the most important in the nation's history. With a militant insurgency roiling the northeastern part of the country and falling oil prices pinching the nation's economy, the closely contested election for president comes at a critical time. Perhaps as never before, it is important that Nigerians be united in the exercise and defense of their democracy during and after the voting February 14th. Given the stakes, it's absolutely critical that these elections be conducted peacefully and that they are credible, transparent, and accountable. That way, the people of Nigeria can have faith, and the world can have faith, in the government that flows from it. Nigeria's political leaders recognize this and have issued strong statements discouraging the kind of violence that marred the voting in 2011. Civil society has a role to play, too, and it is especially important that voters share these concerns and act accordingly, regardless of the election's outcome. Nigeria's Independent National Electoral Commission is working diligently to distribute voter cards and working with security services to ensure that Nigerians can vote safely. Nonetheless, the reign of terror Boko Haram is waging in Borno, Yobe, and other states may prevent thousands of Nigerians in the region from voting. The situation would be further complicated if elements unhappy with next month's election results take to the streets. The United States condemns Boko Haram's attacks, which have escalated in recent weeks, and we extend our deepest condolences to the thousands of families that have been affected, and we deeply regret the toll that this violence has taken on the Nigerian people. We will continue to support the efforts of Nigeria and its neighbors to fight against Boko Haram. Together with the international community, we are deeply committed to working with Nigerians going forward with the hopes that they will have an election that is free of violence and capable of instilling confidence in the future. The unity of Nigeria is essential not only for the security and prosperity of the nation, but to that of the region and indeed the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about calls by local government minister Ignatius Chombo for urban councils to remove vendors from streets in Zimbabwe's cities.
And remember to join the discussion. You just text us at 001-202-465-0318. And then all we do is to call you back from our studios. That there was the music of Berita Kumalo bringing our show to an end. But before we go, a quick recap of today's top stories.
A local government minister, Ignatius Chombo, says vendors should be removed from streets in Zimbabwe's cities, saying their presence compromises the cleanliness of urban areas.
Zimbabweans express mixed views over President Robert Mugabe's role in Africa following his elevation to the position of African Union chairperson.
and former ZANU-PF Mashonaland West Chairman and Urungwe West lawmaker Themba Peter Muliswa appears in court facing allegations of theft of 8 firearms from a white farmer.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you all a pleasant evening and a very good night.